All right, good evening, folks, and welcome to the Creation Science Hour. We're glad you've joined us. This is Kent Hovind and Jonathan Sampson. We are live here this June 15th, 2004. So if it's not June 15th where you are, you're listening to a tape. Or you're in New Zealand. Or maybe Australia, somewhere like that. Okay. Anyway, we're the folks who believe the Bible is literally true and scientifically accurate, and the evolution theory is the dumbest and most dangerous religion on planet Earth. Didn't happen. You were created by God in His image, and He's going to judge you one of these days for everything you've ever said or thought or done. That's just the way it's going to be. Okay, so we take testimonies here. If you want to call in and be on the program, you can call 850-479-3466, 850-479-3466, or you can AOL instant message us at Dr. Dino Live. That's DrDinoLive. Anyway, if you want to be on the program, 850-479-3466, extension 136, and you go straight through to Jonathan. Or our website is drdino.com, and you can email us, or, regular email. We'll take a little longer to get into the pile, but we will get to it. Okay, let's read a few testimonies here, and then we got a stack about 2 feet high of questions people have been sending us here. This one from Dave Danick, what a screen name this is. Dave Danick. In Sella. It says, "Hi, your talk was amazing. I watched the Age of the Earth DVD number 1 and thought it was so amazing I brought it to work with me. I work at the Salvation Army in Dublin, Ireland. I organized a night for the men to watch the video and the staff also. I did get some positive feedback. I plan on doing the set of talks. Would it be possible for you guys to send me a set of Dr. Hovind's DVDs for the purpose of reproduction and free distribution?" Well, thank you. Who's the name? David, I guess, is the name on here. David, I appreciate it. I've been to Ireland 3 times to speak. Beautiful country. Rained the whole time. I was there every time. I guess that's kind of standard in Ireland.
We've had a few days as well here.
So. Well, I just saw the weather forecast. They say it's going to rain twice this week in Pensacola. The first time it's going to rain for 3 days, and then the second time it's going to rain for 4 days. So it's only going to rain twice.
It's been raining pretty bad the last couple days now.
So. Well, it's like they say Florida's got a deficit of water, but man, oh man, we've been getting it this time. But that's good. It beats being in a desert. I've been there also, you know. So, okay. Let's see. Anyway, appreciate that, Dave. Yes, we do. We donate tapes to prisons if they contact us. You can call. But we don't donate tapes to other ministries just for financial reasons, I guess. If we had the money, we would. But anybody's welcome to get our materials, copy it, and send it back and get your money back. Or you can download a couple of them off the internet. Go to drdino.com, David, D-R-D-I-N-O, and you can get download part 1 and 2 there. At least let the guys watch that much of it. And you can get the audio clips, was it MP3 or something, of all of them, I think. Yeah, MP3. Okay, here's one from Joe Jory, J-O. Now, not many ladies are named Joe. That is my wife's first name, just Joe, J-O. I kept asking her when we first started dating, is Joe what? You know, what's it stand for? Joanne? No, just Joe. Okay. Short name for a short lady, but I married her 31 years ago, and it's been well worth it most of the time. Here we go. Joe writes in, "Dr. Hovind, my family would like to thank you for letting the Lord use you in this ministry. In a few evenings of watching a copy of your seminars, aren't you glad you don't copyright? Our faith in God and the truth in the Bible has been reinforced. You have answered many questions that have been wandering around our minds for a long time. Thank you so much. We have ordered your seminars and debates for ourselves and are hoping to get our hands on a reasonably priced DVD burner to make some copies to pass out. We have thought about passing them out at the dinosaur exhibit in Ottawa, where my parents live, so that kids and parents can know the truth. It would be fun to pass them out in the parking lot as people are leaving. We might be asked to stop, so then we'll go to a sidewalk, very politely, and pass them out there. But if we want to get this stuff out, I was taught evolution as a kid, and even when I became a Christian at age 17, the ideas still messed me up quite a bit. Anyhow, I just wanted to say thanks for letting God use you. Please don't stop, even if you get death threats. The Jory family, J-O-R-Y, in Quebec." Well, amen. I don't know of any death threats yet. Have I had any on the internet, Jonathan?
Just before your meeting at Berkeley, there were these a bunch of idiots online talking about how they'd love to bring guns and just basically slaughter all the creationists there, because apparently, according to them, and of course they were joking, but this is no way to joke, but it's justified by evolutionary thinking. According to them, creationists were just so stupid, and they'd be doing the planet a good thing just to blow them all to pieces. So it's
actually, I showed what they said on the internet when I did the Berkeley debate,
mm-hmm.
which is what, debate number 18?
Yeah.
17 or 18.
It's when the Paul Emerson hosted.
Yes.
Yeah.
So if you go to our website, drdiner.com, and look at debate number 17 or 18, it should say Dr. Hovind at Berkeley, or Berkeley Hears the Truth, I think mm-hmm. is the title. If you watch that debate, it's got the text of what those guys actually said, because I flash right up on the screen. You know, and then when during Q&A time, one of the people said, well, I guess Hovind's smart enough to read the internet when they're talking bad about him, so he knows what his enemy's up to. I don't care what they say about me, honestly. They can talk all they want. There's so many people who want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Why waste time on those who don't want to hear? You know? Oh, well. Okay, look at that. Average monthly tornadoes in May. Wow, there should be less tornadoes now. That's good. We don't need any tornadoes down here either. So I got the Weather Channel on so I can see what the weather's going to be. Or I can step outside, I suppose. Okay, Joseph Williams writes in, Dr. Hovind Stir, I've seen your creation seminar series, and brother, I just want to tell you, it was awesome. I have a friend of mine that I go to church with who was formerly a student of yours when you taught science. He is the one who told me about your seminar, and he was also instrumental in leading me to the Lord Jesus Christ as well. Brother, I know you have an extremely busy schedule, but I would like to talk to my pastor and see about having you come to our church to give a seminar. I know after seeing your seminar already, I would love to meet you in person, see it firsthand. My church is a very giving church when it comes to love offerings or supporting missions and evangelists such as yourself. Oh, brother, just want to say I love you. I love what you do for the Lord, and God bless you always. In case you're interested, my name is, here it is, in Cantonment, Florida. Oh, that's just 20 miles up the road. Well, good. Well, Joseph, I'm glad you enjoyed the material. I believe your pastor knows of my seminar, and I don't think I have any openings left this year. In fact, I know I don't. But if he'd like to give us a call, we'll get him on the schedule for next year. I just talked to my secretary, my daughter, who does my scheduling. She said December 19th is the only opening I've got just before Christmas. So I may want to actually not preach a Sunday. Do you want to do it instead, Jonathan, for a while? You'd be ready by then?
By December 19th?
Yeah, we'll get you a PowerPoint and go for it.
I don't know. Okay. I'll have to pray about that.
A little while longer. You're doing fine to studying all this stuff, but there's a lot to learn.
There's a lot to do around here as well. So it's
yeah, get the website. Website's more important. Yeah. You and Heath, get that thing done. Heath, you're getting married in how many more days? You don't know. So like 15 days and you don't even know?
Yeah, it's like 18 or something.
18 days. Okay. You might want to start counting the days there, son. Holly Ragazzo writes in. Hi, I believe I have some documentation here that could be useful to true medical research. I have 17 years worth of documentation that came from a variety of doctors to include infectious disease specialist, neurologist, a rheumatologist, also an interesting reaction to a safe medication that landed me in the hospital. I lost feeling in my legs, diagnosed at the time with ataxia, myoclonic jerks, and much more from a widely used safe medication. One of the SSRIs. My 10-year-old daughter is now experiencing recurring viral infections, asthma, and migraines. Anyway, I've learned many things, or should I say unlearned many things, and because you had the courage to speak up, my child has benefited, and I thank you. I would like more information, and I'm unsure who to contact. Could you please help? I believe I'm rapidly learning. What on earth can I do, for heaven's sake? And I truly want to help. Well, thank you. Holly, if you have questions, I would have I would immediately call and talk to Bill Sardi in California as far as the daughter. Any medical problems, viral infections and things like that. There's you can take oregano oil or oregacin, which is even more concentrated, and it'll just knock out just about any infection, it seems to. Just call BillSardi.com, is his website, Sardi, BillSardi.com, and just any health problems, you ask Bill. He doesn't know, he will know who does. Now, he and I differ a little bit on vitamin B17. That's okay. He's wrong, and I'm right on that one. But okay, here we go. Amy Benjamin writes in, reading through the comments you have received at first made me laugh. How can people read through your site and then say, what about carbon dating? What about dinosaurs? And then I felt extremely angry. You said on one of your videos that you read books on World War II to get your blood boiling. Well, evolution gets my blood boiling. And that's sad. It's heartbreaking reading all the comments of people who've been brainwashed into blindly following a totally unproven, not to mention self-destructive theory. Now I love science, and I'm taking physics, chemistry, and biology at school. I'm in my last year in New Zealand high school. So I'm not sure what that is in America. And for a while, I had no idea what I was going to do when I came up to the evolution topic. That was until I saw your videos. I can't tell you how much your videos and material on the net has helped me. Before the topic has started, I've been asking questions of the teacher, and I was horrified when she told me that she was brought up Catholic to believe the Bible was right, but she thinks it has its dates wrong. I'm sorry to say that I was so shocked I was left speechless. I'm praying for an opportunity to bring it up again without her getting defensive. Now, my two friends and myself have watched your videos, and we all love them. We all take nearly the same subjects at school, all but one is the same. So what is the probability that we all end up in the same biology class? For the first time in our three-year 13 biology classes at our school, we are each in a different one. Now, who can deny God had a hand in our placements? I'm sure there are some skeptics out there, but there's more chance of having supernatural intervention than the rock outside of my house is my great-great-great-great-grandpa. Well, now you got a chance to influence three different classes.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, Amy, I appreciate that. Let's see, I guess I should be saving in the testimony file for those going for the staff to read as they get opportunities. And I guess that's enough testimony. We've got a bunch of questions. Any AOL instant messages I need to know about there, John?
Nothing yet.
Okay. If you want to AOL instant messages, folks, here's your chance to be on live to get your questions answered. 850-479-DINO and then extension 136 or Dr. Dino Live. So what have you been reading lately, Jonathan?
I'm actually reading, there was a college book in here called Genetics, Human Genetics Application and Concepts and Applications. So I'm actually reading that right now, pretty thorough. It's a secular book, though, so I'm a little hesitant about a lot of their understanding of certain things.
But you can see the evolution. It's easy to pick out, isn't it?
Yeah, page six. They really went to bottom out and got hard on evolution. So
It's their religion. I mean, they got to... Just like Christians can't help but talk about the Lord, you know, these folks, they just can't help but throw evolution in everywhere.
Well, I was looking through it with Heath the other night, and I was saying, you know, man, they're talking so good about evolution, but they're really turning on themselves here and there because they are trying to present the truth in genetics. And when they do that, they're kind of contradicting their own things. They're also kind of making problems for their own arguments in their own book. I was like, you know, you can't just whenever you have some truth in something, and some lie, you got to be sure you don't have that truth contradicting your lies because it's going to stand out like a sore thumb. So, and they're actually doing this in this book that I'm reading right now.
Yeah, a lot to learn. Okay, here's one from Josh who writes in. This is in reference to your notes on kangaroos living outside Australia in the pre-flood era. I would like to know where fossilized remains of kangaroos are found outside of the tiny continent. You only offer your personal opinion, no statement of fact, says a frowny face, John. Since you made the assertion that kangaroos existed elsewhere, the burden of proof lies with you. I point this out because this is my problem with many of your wild-eyed claims. You offer only what you think happened. Well, Josh, slow down here for a minute. The Bible says clearly that two of each kind were on the ark with Noah. And Noah's Ark landed someplace probably in Turkey, so that's the Middle East. So there's proof positive kangaroos were places other than Australia. They were on the Ark with Noah.
And, of course, one big misconception that atheists and evolutionists have about the pre-flood world, they think it was all exactly how it is today, that the kangaroos would have had to swim across some water and you know, run across this land and everything. But that's it's completely untrue. The world was vastly different. The different... population, and there might have been kangaroos in a little area over on this part of the world. You know, we really can't tell that today. So,
break time already. Okay, stay with us, folks. We'll be right back. Check out our website, drdino.com. We got a lot of new stuff on there. All right, welcome back, folks, to the second segment of the Creation Science Hour. If you want to be on the program, you can call in 850-479-3466, 850-479-3466, or you can, and then to go to extension 136 after that. If you want to AOL instant messages, it's Dr. Dino Live, DrDinoLive. Okay, Josh, I was answering your question about kangaroo fossils found outside of the of Australia. I'm trying to remember. I know I could prove from Scripture they did live outside of Australia, but I'm trying to prove, trying to remember where I saw the article about kangaroo bones found in Africa, I believe. I don't recall now where it was, but like I said, I take these questions cold, and, well, I'm live, but the questions are cold, so I don't have the documentation in front of me, but I'll look for that again, see if I can find it. Ernie, you were on the program here once. I'm on live on the air. You got anything you want to say to everybody? Are you okay?
I'm okay.
You're okay. Okay. Well, thanks for joining us, brother. And sorry for the mix-up today. I got all tied up with grandkids and everything else going around here, but I'm free this evening. But here's one from Cameron, to whom it may concern. I was in a conversation recently, and the person I was talking with insisted that the heaven is in the sky, and it's reachable. He went on to say, why did God come down to scatter the languages if it's impossible to build your way to heaven? I know that statement is completely hilarious to read, and I know it's wrong, but I didn't know how to respond. Any help would be awesome. Please give me an answer whenever you get a chance. Okay, from Cameron. My understanding, Cameron, is the people were building the Tower of Babel to heaven, maybe really thinking they could do it, number one, people get a little... their ego is a little bigger than their reality. Or it could be that the three heavens mentioned in Scripture, first heaven where the birds fly, second heaven where the sun, moon, stars are, third heaven where God lives. I guess any heaven, any tower built is in heaven in that sense, in the first heaven. So that would be one option. I've also heard it said that they built the tower to spite heaven. Heaven had told them what to do. God said, you know, here's what you do. And they built it to spite what God had said to do. So I don't know. Anything else on that one, Jonathan? You got any more ideas? Nothing? Okay. Christina G. writes in. Oh, no, I hope it's not a relation to Ali G. they blindsided me good on that Ali G program. I thought that was the dumbest guy I'd ever seen in my life.
I actually got to hear all about that on the internet. The atheists were like, oh, Kent Hovind was on MTV. And that was the day before I actually met you in person. My brother was flipping through the channels, and I was playing on the computer, and all I heard was, hello. And I was like, whoa, go back. That sounds like Kent Hovind. And Ollie G. I was like, whoa.
What did the atheists have to say about it?
Oh, they were just saying it was just odd to see Kent Hovind on Ollie G. show on MTV.
I do a lot of radio and TV programs, and when they called me, you know, you want to be on the Ollie G. show? Sure. It's like, you know, I've been on, you know, Hank Hanegraaff and, you know, Tex Mars, and you know, I do a lot of these shows. Who's Ollie G.? I don't care.
Yeah.
I just want to preach the truth, you know.
Definitely a character. I doubt you've had any other host like him.
I've never had a host like him. Even a week later, I was telling my wife, I don't recall ever meeting anybody so stupid. I mean, he's a really good actor. You know?
Yeah.
Absolutely. The dumbest guy I'd ever met, I thought. Wow, dumber than a box of rocks. Okay, here we go. Christina G. writes in, well, your site does a good job of knocking evolution pretty good, but there is no more evidence to support creation. I have watched some of your DVDs, and there was a pretty, well, many, that you talked about the Big Bang Theory. And there was a part where you talked about the Big Bang Theory, sorry. And you said it was stupid because things can't come from nothing, but where did God come from then? Ooh, let me stop right there. Christina, your question assumes that God had to come from somewhere, and your question assumes that God is locked into time, space, matter. See, when people start asking questions, where did God come from, they're assuming that he is stuck in time like we are. If God is outside of time, space, and matter, he doesn't have to come from anywhere. He just is. Now, my human brain won't wrap around that totally, but the fact that God won't fit in my brain is probably good. It makes him worth worshiping. If he would fit in my little 3-pound brain, he would not be worth worshiping. So let me finish. Christina goes on to say, I'm not trying to prove the Big Bang Theory is correct. I'm just saying there is no clear evidence on your part either. Both can be viewed as equally correct or incorrect. Okay, let me stop there and say, Christina, then why, since both views, creation and evolution, are religious, neither can be proven correct, why is everybody paying for your view to be taught?
I think she would notice also if she watches the rest of the video, she would see that creation just makes a lot more sense. And there's tons of evidence for creation, you know, young earth creation. I won't say old earth or progressive like Hugh Ross and other advocators of heresies.
Yeah, we need to get Hugh Ross to call in to be on the program sometime. And, you know, he's a nice guy, just heresy what he teaches, you know.
You had a debate with him on the website real quick for $49, I believe. They can get a three. Is that 3 hours?
Well, it's more than that. It's six videos, I know. It's a whole case of tapes on the Hugh Ross debate that I did.
They can check that on drdiner.com.
Right. Yep. What's it, is it called Hugh Ross debate or?
Ross versus Hovind, I believe, something, or Hovind versus Ross, or Hovind yeah. Ross. They can just go up there and type in Hovind Ross. And
so my brother's name is Ross. They're yeah. going to find Ross Hovind, my brother, who led me to the Lord, who I'm going to Branson with in a couple weeks.
He's retiring, too, isn't he?
He did.
Oh, he did.
Retired, teaching public school 34 years. Deserves a medal. Let's see. Here we go. Christina goes on. I understand you have extremely strong beliefs, but I also think it's unfair to try to disprove these theories in order to support religion. Science is something that is falsifiable. Religion is not. So it's not fair to put these two together. Let me stop right here and say, Christina, somebody apparently has brainwashed you into thinking that evolution is part of science. I would agree, science and religion don't necessarily have to go together. I don't know of any science that goes against the Bible view. I know of a lot of science that goes against the evolution view.
Mm-hmm.
And evolution is not part of science. There's the whole problem. You're thinking it is, and it's not, okay? She goes on to say, it's not fair for scientists to do that either, and most don't, because science is falsifiable. The two don't mix. That's why so many things are theories and not facts. But that doesn't mean countless tests have been done and hours of research hasn't been put in. You just always have to leave the door open. Okay, well, Christina, let's leave the door open for the idea that maybe there's a designer behind all this. Maybe just maybe somebody actually built it, you know?
Yeah, and contrary to what she said, the biblical account of creation, the Noahic flood, many of these different parts of Genesis are testable. You know, we could clearly look at geology and see if there was a worldwide flood, turns out. That's right. What it indicates. You know, we can look at the creation account in Genesis. Genesis says that we all came from two people. You know, we can look at mitochondrial DNA, which is what they did in the Science Journal, and found out, whoa, we all come from one woman. They checked out the Y chromosome males and found out, whoa, we all came from one man.
I even know his name.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. I can tell you where he lived, you know.
Yeah, sure.
It's just amazing. There are things that are testable and falsifiable in the Bible. So the people that say there's nothing there's no way to falsify it, are completely wrong.
Correct. So there's no way to falsify evolution, because mm-hmm. they can always bend their theory to fit any.
Whenever they make a claim and you show that it's wrong, they're going to change it and so forth.
That's right. Okay. Let's see. Christina, this is a long question. Let me just read a little bit more of it here. She says, I'm not a religious person. I have gone to church and read the Bible. I've tried to be. I guess I just have too many unanswered questions that the Bible or just having faith cannot answer. I think there's something more to life than God spoke. I think the earth and everything on it is beautiful, complex, and I think people like Darwin are brilliant for having questions and wanting answers. Darwin had questions and wanted answers. Are you that way too?
Oh, I certainly am. The Bible encourages us to study, to question things. That's, if anything encourages you to do that, the Bible would be, superior in that.
Do you feel like as a Christian you have to leave your brain at the door and you can't help but think?
I think actually when I, before I became a Christian, I think I just kind of drug my brain around behind me in the dirt.
Mm-hmm.
And then whenever I, started reading the Bible and find out, whoa, there's so much to study here. This book is so amazingly complex. You can't just go through it brainlessly.
Right.
You would stop halfway, gas, and just give up. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no point if you're not going to just dive into it.
Well, that's the neat thing. Like this morning, I was reading, and I read most of the book of Isaiah
mm-hmm.
with the on double speed with the CDs.
Which are on our website. They can check those out.
That's cool. Ernie, have you seen those? The whole Bible on CD at double speed. You can listen to it while you drive. You can understand it just fine. And we speeded it up in the computer and recorded it. So it's a new product we offer here. You drive a lot, don't you, brother?
I do.
You ought to get that, man. It's amazing.
They can listen to Genesis chapter 1 for free on our website, drdiner.com, which is about 3 or 4 minute MP3.
It's $69 for the whole thing, and you can read through the entire Bible in about 35 hours. So if you drive an hour a day, once a month, you read through the whole Bible. I've done that many, I don't know how many times through the Bible, a lot, 70 or 80 or 90. And you just become so familiar with passages. You just heard it and heard it and heard it. Pretty soon you're quoting whole chapters without even trying to memorize them.
Mm-hmm.
You just heard it so much. It becomes part of your thinking process. So, Christina, we're going to go on here. Christina said, where did I leave off? Oh, she said, evolution isn't to the root of Nazism, communism, etc. Hitler was crazy, and communism isn't a bad idea. I'll tell you what, Christina, you get ready to go to Russia. I will buy you a one-way ticket on the condition you use it and don't come back. If you think communism is good, you should go see what it's done for that country, or Romania, or Moldova, or Ukraine. Just go take a look. You don't want what they had for 70 years. Absolutely destroyed that country, destroyed their work ethic, you know. All they know how to do is stand in line, you know, and get their check. Got the same thing here with some folks, but all right. Floyd writes, hi, I have a couple questions. I know a while back you had an offer that if your tapes were out of date, all we had to do was send them back, and you would send us a new couple if we paid for the shipping. Is the offer still true? It's almost like that, Floyd. The policy has always been you can send the tapes back and $50 and upgrade to the new set, or send your old set away to somebody and get a new set for $75 if you have already bought a set from us. You just say, hey, I want a new set, $75. That you can do. Okay, dear CSE, this is from Jonathan Taylor. Good name, Jonathan. I work on a bus route, and I really want to share the knowledge that I've gotten from your seminar with my kids. Problem is, I only have them for a few hours on Sunday. I do not know how to present the material in an efficient, fun way. Do you have any videos geared toward children ages 5 to 12? If so, I might could arrange a time to show that to them. If not, do you have any suggestions of how I could present the material, mainly the age of the earth and dinosaurs, to kids in a fun and time-efficient manner? Well, Jonathan, I drove a church bus for 17 years. Yes, I think I would have a few suggestions there. Have a party where the kids stay all afternoon and go to afternoon church or evening church and get somebody in the church to sponsor buying them lunch if you got 30 or 40 kids. You know, get somebody to cough up $150 and buy them all lunch and then sit down and watch an hour in the afternoon at the church gymnasium or something. Put it on big screen TV.
Remember in sixth grade, our bus driver, I don't know why he did this, but I'm kind of thankful that he did. He would give us each like maybe three paragraphs to read. And then he just did this on his own leisure. He would ask us questions the following day. And for each question we got right, he would give us a Coke. So it was definitely an incentive to read the material and learn it. It was mostly history stuff. He was a big history buff. Mm-hmm. But it was very motivating.
Yeah.
To get that Coke.
Bus kids, there's so many things you can do. I mean, it's a great, great ministry. I loved it. Okay. Oh, instant messages. I'm getting behind here, John. And we got 2 minutes till the break. Okay. Cerebral Noise writes in, do you think that domesticated cats are of the same kind as wild cats, such as lynxes, lions, tigers, cheetahs, jaguars, or cougars? I understand that lions and tigers are probably the same, but what about the rest of the cats? I don't know how many original kinds of cats there were. It probably could be just two. Ernie, your wife's a taxidermist. Is she any relation between domesticated cats and mountain lions and...
There are a lot of similarities. I don't know.
How yeah, a lot of similarities. I know.
There's a lot of similarities that would lead you to think that they're
probably
the same.
Yeah. I know, like, you figure the size differential you get when you start with wolves and end up with a chihuahua just by selective gene code. You probably could get a domesticated cat from selective breeding from a mountain lion. I don't know.
I would believe you could.
Yeah, probably could. Don't know. I don't know if anybody's ever studied that, but I'll tell you who would know. Frank Sherwin would know. I talked to him today. But I didn't talk to him about that. He's at icr.org. Just go to icr.org and ask Frank Sherwin. He's a zoologist there at Institute for Creation Research. Okay, anyway, Cale, I would try that. But if you find out for sure, let me know if anybody's ever studied that. If the genes are the same, if the number of chromosomes is the same. I don't know, Jonathan, can you do a Google search and see number of chromosomes for a a cheetah? And then number of chromosomes for a domesticated cat, Felis domesticus. I don't know what the Latin name for cheetah is. Something Felix in there, I'm sure, for cat. Okay, here Flam Cheesy writes in, Dr. Oven, what is the most accurate version of the Bible? Ah, Flam Cheesy, without a question, it's the King James. I have covered that on video number 7, and lots of evidence that I wouldn't touch the other versions as far as using them to prove anything. I mean, I have most of them on my shelf here. Most of them might be a stretch. The new ones come out all the time. But I have probably 20 Bible versions. And I'm really nervous about what I see in most of the other ones. Okay. Where'd we leave off here? George writes in, is your DVD 15-hour dinosaur video set, DVD 150 DVD? That's correct. I believe that's a code name for the key name for it on the computer. It says, is the material copyrighted? George, no, it is not. Break time. Are they standard DVDs, John, or DVD 1 or 2? What does that mean?
Standard DVD.
Okay, standard DVD. There you go, George. Call in if you'd like. Join us, folks, after the break. All right, folks, welcome back to the final segment of the Creation Science Hour. Where are all the atheists and skeptics out there, Jonathan? They should be contacted. I tell you what, some of you folks that are listening, go through the Internet, get all the anti-Hovind websites and contact them and say, hey, call in to Hovind's radio program. Pick the best question you got off your anti-Hovind website and give me a chance to defend myself. Call
they won't. They're extremely vocal on their own anonymous websites. I know Carl Mary Church, he has an alias email on his website so that no one knows who he is. I know through your rebuttal, I think it was in December, people started finding out, oh, this is Carl Mary Church, who has the one of the number one anti-Hovind websites. So they like to remain anonymous. And when they do talk to you, they're talking, you know, this is my first name, and I'm not going to tell you my phone number or anything. Like, you can talk a lot faster than you can type. And so you prefer to talk on the phone, but they don't ever want to talk to you like that either. It's odd.
It's strange, isn't it?
Yeah.
Carl Mary Church, what's his website is?
Geocities.com/Kent Hovind.
First one that comes up when you type in Kent Hovind.
Well, it's the second one.
After ours.
Ours is the first one. Yeah.
But he called in once, didn't he, for the program?
Called in once.
Yeah.
Called in twice, actually. First time we had a problem with the audio board.
Yeah.
Second time
he called
in. So.
Well, Carl, call anytime. And if you still believe you came from Iraq, we can help, okay? That's what we're here for, if you're open-minded at least. Maybe we can drop an intelligent thought in. If you open that mind up just a little bit, drop one intelligent thought in there. Here we go. Robert Mehre. Mehre? I guess you'd pronounce it. Robert writes in, Dr. Hovind, my question is concerning the fall of the devil. I'm not questioning that it happened, but I find it frightening. How could anyone or anything be in heaven and fall? I guess what bothers me is this. I know I must be saved by faith alone, and I say that because as often as I screw up in this life, I know I can't possibly earn my salvation. Well, that's the truth. But if an angel could screw up in heaven, how could I be sure that I can't do the same and screw up in heaven like I do here? I realize it may sound a childish question, like eternity is a concept that has always confused me. How do we know, or do we know, that once in heaven we won't repeat Lucifer's mistakes? Thank you, Robert. You know, Jonathan, I've been taking questions for a long time. Now, this is a new one. I've never even thought of this. How can we know we won't make Lucifer's mistake and fall in heaven? I think I have an answer, but it's interesting. It's a brand new question. I would say God promised he would give you eternal life. If you could lose it, he didn't give you eternal life. He gave you temporary life. So the fact that it's eternal when he gave it to you, the Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life, present tense. I've got eternal life right now. I'm not going to get it. I have it.
I know Satan got very arrogant because he was beautiful and perfect in all his ways. And I know I'm not beautiful and I'm not perfect on my way. So I don't think I would have the chance of, you know, flaunting over my beauty and then falling out of heaven. So I'm kind of glad the Lord didn't make me very attractive.
Well, yeah, you're fine, John. We're going to find you a wife one of these days. Everybody's going to think you're ugly out there. We need to put a picture of you on the Internet and put available and get some good Christian girl that's willing to move to Pensacola and work hard for the rest of her life for the Lord, basically.
I don't know if work hard just, you know, really captures what we do around here.
I love my work. I mean, I can't wait to get up in the morning and come to work.
It's not really an understatement because it's fun to be here, but we are here a lot.
You are here a lot. Well, thank you guys quit last night.
I don't know. For the past week, it's all kind of just blended together.
It's all blended together. Well, after midnight, wasn't it?
It's been that way for the past month or so,
yeah.
I think.
Not that you have to.
No, it's just it's fun.
It's fun.
It's all, you know, it's fun.
It's fun. Okay, you got 8 minutes left, folks. If you want to call in and be on the program, we'd be glad to have you. 850-479-3466 and go to extension 136. And you go straight through to our lovely Jonathan sitting over here. Okay, Keith writes in, I heard you mention that you spend $40 to $50 a month on vitamins for you and your wife and how certain vitamins help you for certain things. I would like to know, if you don't mind, which ones you prefer I've seen the multivitamins and supplements and such, but I'm not sure of the differences in them. Basically, what's your vitamin regimen every day? Well, let's see. I have them sitting in front of me right here. What do I take anyway? I take quite a variety of things. I take a couple alfalfa tablets. They hold lots and lots of minerals and stuff your body needs for sinuses. And since I'm up and down in airplanes all the time, sinuses become a problem. And here in humid Florida, you get that. I take vitamin B complex. Now, that's important that it be a B complex, not just B12 or B6. They all work together. It's like one tire on your car doesn't do much good. You need all four to make it roll. And so B complex is important, and that's Shakley, S-H-A-K-L-E-E. I really enjoy the Shakley vitamins. This one is a vitamin E, and I, again, get the Shakley vitamin E because they have all seven tocopherols. Here I have a calcium magnesium that I got from BillSardi.com, flax oil, cod liver oil, vitamin A, beta carotene, that is, a multivitamin, and what is this one? That's another multivitamin from a different company. So, I don't know. I take a bunch, and if you take too many vitamins, you end up with expensive pee. That's about it. And it feels good to feel good. Cool. I got to live in this body the rest of my life, and I'd rather take, I'd rather waste 10 bucks a month in vitamins I didn't really need, just so my body has plenty to work with, than to have to spend a bunch of money getting sick and go to the doctor, since I have no medical insurance and haven't had for 16 years. I'm not against it, just don't have any. And don't need any. I'm never, you know, stay healthy most of the time. Okay, here we go. Nicole writes in, Dear CSE staff, I downloaded some of your articles on your website to show to some friends and then discovered they are not copyrighted. It is all right. Is it allowed to make private copies for non-commercial use with full reference to the author? Yes. If not, please accept my apology, and I'll remove the articles from my computer immediately. Oh, no. Nicole, use anything you want off my site. Thank you very much. God bless you richly. Yours. Oh, thank you, Nicole. And no, you're welcome to use anything I've got. Nothing's copyrighted. We are trying to win a war, not build a castle. Okay, here's one from Alex. Do you make DVDs or tapes available in German? Alex, I was over in Germany 3 months ago. We spent a fortune videotaping the seminar in German, and they're supposed to send me copies, and I haven't gotten master copies yet. So if you call my office and ask for extension 113 and ask the secretary that answers, or if you leave a message, say, hey, what happened to the German translation? They will contact the folks in Germany again and say, hey, what happened to the German translation? Where do it be? Okay, a couple more here. If you want to email our AOL instant messages, go to Dr. Dino Live. This one from Keith DeFabio. He said, look at the article in Nature.com regarding the pterosaur fossil found of an unhatched egg. The author article is Perfect Pterosaur Found in Fossil Egg. What is it called? Nature.com. This would be recently. I don't know. You see anything on that, Jonathan? Nature.com. Is there a perfect pterosaur found in fossil egg? A baby pterosaur egg. We'll let Jonathan do that. He knows how to search the internet a whole lot faster than I do, since it's what he does basically all day long. Okay. Anyway, appreciate that. We'll check on it. It's interesting that an egg could be fossilized. You'd almost think it was buried quickly, like in a big flood. You know, in Noah's day, he didn't know better. There's eggs found all over. We've got three dinosaur eggs in our museum, maybe four. I know we got a cluster of three and two others. I think they're both replicas, though. I don't remember if somebody told me one was original or not. But anyway, yeah, the eggs are found all over, fossilized, indicating a rapid burial in a flood. First layer would be soft sediments, and once they're preserved, then the water probably got pretty violent on top. Okay. 3 minutes here. Jeff Bingham says, Dr. Hovind, first I'd like to thank you for the work you're doing for the Lord. Your series has increased my faith many times over. I've recently been discussing the Grand Canyon with a coworker and tried to explain how the Colorado River enters it from an elevation below the top of the canyon walls. He said that was due to the entire area being lifted up. Can you explain this? Jeff, yes, I can. And your friend is incorrect. They call it the Kaibab uplift, but that is not correct. If you look at the strata layers in Grand Canyon, they are all still horizontal. And the river enters at 2,800 feet elevation, flows downhill, and at the deepest point, it's so the ground at the top of the ridge is about 7,000 feet above sea level, and rivers don't flow uphill. Hey, Ernie, I need a picture. You might see this sometime. If you ever see a farmer that builds a little dam to hold water for his cows, and the water goes over the top of the dam and washes out a slot. Sometimes it doesn't wash out the whole dam. It just cuts a notch in it and drains the lake.
Yes.
I need pictures of that, of a drained lake with a, showing the slot. Or it's where it'd be real obvious, you know, a lake overflowed. Nobody would question. I saw one in Colorado when I was digging dinosaur bones out there. It didn't have a camera. Beautiful. It had this lake, probably, you know, 5-acre lake. Apparently got over full. And just there was just about a 30-foot wide and 40-foot deep gash. Perfect canyon. And it was obvious at first glance. You could tell exactly what happened. There was a lake here, got too full, found the lowest point, and cut a notch in it.
You know, if I'm not mistaken, above my place, there's a lake that's cut out like that, but the EPA wouldn't allow them to restore the dam. I'll look for that.
They wouldn't allow them to restore the dam. It's EPA for you. Yeah, so I need, or if anybody on the internet out there listening can hear pictures of a dam that's been destroyed like that. Because it happens all the time, you know, it gets too full, and once it starts, if anybody's ever seen a levee, you know, they put levees along the Mississippi, boy, once they get over the top, yeah, in a flash. And Grand Canyon probably formed in a couple of weeks because it's pretty long. A lot of dirt to move. Okay, here's one from Johnny Johnson in North Carolina. I am inquiring about your college courses. I want to return to school, and after... Is that the... Quit the program, Jonathan? Music already? No? Okay. I want to return to school, and after viewing your seminar and debates, want to purchase the courses next. Can you give me more information about what credits, if any, these offer? I enjoy the debates that your seminar has sparked with my coworkers. I'm now sharing the seminar with them. And, man, their biggest response is, I didn't think of it like that. Hope to hear from you soon. Thanks, Johnny. Okay, Johnny, we offer four courses, CSE 101, 102, 103, and 104. Several colleges accept them. There is a college in California that is a state-certified college that will accept the credits, and you need to go to, do you remember that? Is that ananswer.com, ananswertheologicalinstitute.com, or something like that? There are any number, I want to say five or six colleges that are using our courses and offering credits, one credit for each course, so four college credits you would get from taking each one. CSE 101, 102, 103, and 104. Just go to our website, drdino.com, and order those. I don't know. I probably should include a card with them of where to, you know, get them transferred to if you want. We got a couple other irons in the fire we're working on there. And there's another college. Tell you what. Go to creationism.org. Creationism.org. That's Paul Abramson's website. Paul Abramson works with a college, a Christian college, that also accepts the credits. And he would know of any others because they've been working on that for some time. Creationism.org. Okay, 2 minutes. We'll get one more in here. Here's one from Patrick Hurley, who writes in. My question is, given the specs of the size of the ark, how did Noah manage to put these fantastic animals on the ark? Baby ones? How did he manage that? Did they all walk the distance to the ark? Very interesting, and I would like to know more about this. Sincerely, Patrick. Well, Patrick, I would say it would be common sense to take babies of everything on the ark. And as far as walking great distance, I think the question assumes that the earth then was like it is today. If the earth were mostly land and less water and more habitable for all species to live in all areas, probably all the animals live right around Noah. Plus everything was vegetarian, according to Genesis 1:29, so it would be just a very different world back then. So I think the assumption is that they're looking at today's world and trying to interpret Noah having trouble getting all the animals to the ark based on getting from Australia to Turkey today. We don't know the ark left from Turkey. We know it landed in Turkey. No idea where it left from. And we don't know that the world then was like it is today. Matter of fact, we're pretty sure it's quite a bit different. So go watch our video number 6 for more on that, if that'll help. Okay, here's one from probably the last one we'll get in today, folks. Beta Recognize. Better Recognize. There's a good screen name. Hey, someone once asked for a logical definition of God. What do I respond? Well, I gave them attributes of God, and I said Jesus is God, and I asked them for a logical definition of an apple. They said a biological organism. What answer are they looking for? Probably by the time they're asking that question, they're not looking for an answer at all, Beta. They're looking for an argument. But by definition, God would be above and beyond and outside of time, space, matter. He's the creator of all things, the eternal one that inhabiteth eternity. Okay, join us tomorrow, folks. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.